God has a dream for me. If I will let it be, God has a dream for me. If I only listen, listen, when God has a dream for me, it lets me be. If I open my heart, when old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and as I go my own way, God has a plan for me, a special design for me. God has a plan for me. If I only listen, listen, God shows His plan to me. Asks me if I'll agree, make His dream reality, being all I can be. When old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and gray, and off the pathway I stray, God stays beside me each day as I go my own way. God stays beside me each day.
Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Thank you for coming back to the Inner Garden Online Chapel. We are just going to do the opening prayer, and then we're going to introduce you to a very exciting guest. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, creator of the universe and all that is in it, we thank you for a wonderful day and for the opportunity to join with each other in a communion of spirit. Let us remember those who are less fortunate than we are, and feed those that are hungry in body, mind, and spirit. Give shelter to those who are in need of shelter, and compassion to those who may be experiencing challenging challenges of any kind. We ask you to enter into the hearts of each person listening today so that she or he may feel the Spirit moving inside and come to a part of the earth angel that you send to help those in need. Please help us to remember that we all come from the same source, God, and that we are family, whether it is an earthly family or a spiritual family. Help us to learn to live together, accept the differences that we each have, and celebrate the uniqueness of the God that has created each of us. Help us to acknowledge, validate, and appreciate the gifts of each member of our family, O God. And we ask you to give us the highest and the best of the information so that we may help those that are online today. Amen. Well, we hope that everybody has had a wonderful week. I certainly have, and I have a guest that has been a friend of mine for a long time, Helen Saddlerock. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Yeah, and you're with the ISA, which is International Spiritualist Alliance in New Westminster.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and we met there a number of years that we won't even talk of how many years ago that was. And we certainly have enjoyed each other. And you've worked many times when I've been working there as an assistant for me when I've needed help. But most important, you do a lot of hands-on healing.
Yes, I do.
You do. And a lot of people there may not know what that means, but basically is that you use yourself as a channel between you and God to give people comfort, to bring the energy through in prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To help them heal themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you do a lot of stuff with hospice at the hospitals and things like that. And I know that we've had a couple of very ill friends over the last couple of years, and you've been at the hospital doing prayers for them.
And healing.
And healing with them. Yeah. And that has been just the greatest thing. Talk a little bit about what got you here, because people can tell a little bit by your accent that you didn't... You weren't born in Canada.
No, I was born in Germany. And I always wanted to know what's going on in other countries. And the opportunity arose to immigrate to Canada. So when I was 20, I decided, Canada, here I come. All by myself.
All by yourself. Now, that in itself is quite a step of faith, isn't it? I mean, to be able to take the hand of God and step outside that circle and say, I'm going to go in a country completely foreign to me, none of my friends, relatives, and anybody there really to support me.
And not speaking the language.
And not speaking the language, that was another challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here you come into Canada and you decide that you're going to do the things that God has in mind for you. So where did it go from there?
I actually met my ex on the ship. I immigrated.
Oh, wonderful. Right on the ship.
Right on the ship.
And did he speak German?
Yes, he was German also.
Oh, well, good. Because sometimes you wonder how people manage to converse if they don't speak the language.
No, we did speak the same language.
And the language of love, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you came here and...
I came and we went to Williams Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived the first 10 years in Williams Lake.
And Williams Lake, for people that don't know Canada that well, is in the Cariboo country of British Columbia. And a beautiful little town, but it is a little town.
It was a little town.
Yeah.
I think there were 2,000 people with the surroundings.
Yeah, when you went there.
Those days. Yeah. No sidewalks, still gravel streets.
And well known for the rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second largest.
I think other than Calgary, Alberta, which mm-hmm. a lot of people know for rodeo, they do know Williams Lake mm-hmm. for rodeo. And that is a big place. So then you went up there and you got married and you raised a family.
Yes, I had 2 children.
Yeah. And so you had a spiritual life, though, even then, to inside yourself, you spiritually believed in something at that
yes.
time.
Yes. I was not necessarily raised as a Catholic. My parents never did go to church.
Yeah.
But I had a choice if I wanted to, so I did. And at one point in my life, I thought of, which is not really what I believe in.
Yeah.
Going to hell was one.
Was one of the things that you couldn't see a loving God sending anybody to hell. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yet, you know, we have to realize that all pathways, no matter what place that we start off spiritually, all lead to the same God, which is what we say at the beginning of our program. And so somewhere along the line, though, God seems to have a plan in mind for us or a dream in mind for us, and we are so subtly moved to the right place to meet the right people. And sometimes the negative thing that happens to us is the catalyst that shoots us off in a direction. So to some degree, hell was a negative concept for you, so it kind of said, well, I'm going to go search for something else. So kind of speed us a little bit forward, and then you came down to the Lower Mainland and got very much involved with the Spiritualist Church here. But tell us a little bit about how you got there with the International.
I was working for an elderly lady, and when she got very sick, they brought help in. And one of them was Carol Bayless. And she kept saying, she was going to the church, actually to many of the spiritual churches. And then something happened in the meantime also. I had lived with somebody and the relationship broke up. And then I went
to church with her one
church day. With her one Sunday, and I knew that is what I was searching
and
for.
And you felt home there.
And I felt at home. Yeah. I still do.
And definitely you are at home there, because the minute you walk in there, everybody really comes moving around and talking to you, and they know you as a hands-on healer. But it's more than that, isn't it, Helen? It's welcoming people in and making them feel like they're part of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So the healing...
the energy, just walking through the door.
Isn't that wonderful,
yes,
though? When
is.
You have people that are uplifted, and they, when you walk in a door for the first time... Now, when you did walk in that door for the first time, and that's a good way of explaining it, because when you walked in, you obviously immediately felt at home. So the people must have come around and welcomed you and
yes.
said something from the rostrum mm-hmm. or whatever that encouraged you to come there.
I remember somebody was at the door. I think it was Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
And she welcomed me to her church and gave me a hug. And it felt so good.
That would be Reverend Joyce Tarvin.
Yes.
Lovely lady.
Yes.
And really helpful to anybody who seems to need something they feel comfortable with. They kind of feel like she's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, because then you do really feel part of the family. And I think that's a wonderful situation. So then you started working with them, and of course I met you because I speak occasionally at the
ISA. Very shortly after.
Yeah, exactly, very shortly after. And the one thing that we have in the spiritual church is that they don't have in a lot of the other churches, really, is we have the clairvoyance, which is, you know, we have the same belief system, and it doesn't matter what you believe, you can have two Anglicans side by side in the same church. They don't exactly believe how to get to God in the same way, and I think two spiritualists sitting side by side don't really perceive of that in exactly the same way. But the one thing in common is that they have the ability to kind of communicate with the spiritual side and say, here's some proof that there is life after death. And I think this is a, when you're in stress and you're not knowing where to go and you're feeling kind of a little upset, if something happens that that medium that's on that rostrum says something, even in the context of the talk, that may be the message that you get, or if you happen to be fortunate enough that the medium comes to you and says, you know, they have a loved one who has passed away, that identification then gives you confidence that there is something beyond here. Now, whether it's the Thunderbolt Lollipop God that a lot of people teach about, or whether in actual fact it is a massive energy that we are part of, where God is in us and around us and through us, doesn't really matter what we perceive that to be. It all is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that feeling that you are not alone and that there is something there that's going to help you day by day through your troubles and through even the happy times, be able to rejoice with somebody and say, gee, God, did you hear about that? You know, gee, thank you. You know, that was great that happened today and how the day was. Just knowing that every day when you get up in the morning that you've got a new day and it's something to do.
Yeah.
And that you have a purpose. Now, your healing is a purpose with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really wonderful.
And I like LWC for sure. It makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Also.
So one of the things that I have a little talk that I'm going to plug into later, and it is a talk that I did about 4 years ago. And a lot of people that are out there, including my little congregation I have down, have a little store in North Delta, and they work on Sunday, so they don't get out to the church. So I'm going to say hi to Lois down at Astral Connections and her crew down there that are my part of my congregation. And some of them have heard this talk and said to me, you know, we'd like to hear that again. And what it's about is exactly what you're talking about. There is a time we're born and there's a time we die, but in between that time, there is a dash. We'll say 1934 was when I'm born, and I'm not finished my dash yet. Thank you very much, God. I'm still going to continue on. But if the time comes, there'll be a date at the end of it. But what happened in the middle of that? And so there is a lady that wrote a poem, and her name is Linda Ellis. And she wrote a poem called I'm Glad You're in My Dash. And I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to plug into what I talked about to do with that. And then we're going to come back, and we heard a couple ladies that have phoned in. And I hope they're still listening, because we're going to give them some clairvoyance and some advice, maybe on healing or whatever else that they might want to talk about. And in between times, between the calls, you and I are going to talk a little bit more about your work. Okay? So I'm just going to read this, and I think it's quite an interesting thing. It says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend, and he referred to the date on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted first came the date of birth and spoke the following dates with tears, but said it matters most of all what happens between the dash and those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on the earth, and now only those who loved her knows what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own the cars, the house, or the cash. What matters is that we live in love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things that you'd like to change? For you know that there is much time left that things can be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like they've never been loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remember that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is read, and life's action to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash? And here we go. Just going to hear a little talk now. Well, we are going to if it gets to that part of the tape. That interesting. Maybe we're not going to hear a little talk. I'm going to have to do the talk without it. And he asked me if he could have a copy of this. And at the time, I gave him the copy. Yeah, I'll rewind that back just a tiny bit. Be patient with me, people, because this is an interesting little thing that happened here. I just about blew this tape. I hope so. And it is taped, this part. Remember, I'm going to have that part of the tape. Isn't that interesting? And we're taping ourselves, of course. So we'll start wherever it starts here.
I'm going to have to do the job without it.
And he asked me if he could have a copy of this, and at the time I gave him the copy, I did not know that he was an Anglican priest, nor what he was going to do with it. But he read it on Good Friday, and what he said was very, very important, and that is that we celebrate Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December, and when Easter comes and Good Friday, we look at the time that he died. And although we take these dates as being very, very important, you know, the real truth is, what did go on in the dash? We've celebrated at least 2,000 years of what went on in that dash, the spiritual teaching that a very intuitive, if you want to say it that way, pure light of God coming through a human experience to bring to us what we should know in our hearts about our spiritual side, and that is that life goes on. And yes, it is really heart-rending when the time comes that we have to kind of say, so long for now, friend, as they pass into the spirit world from the physical world, because we're not going to necessarily see that person in a physical being again, be able to have put an arm around them, say, gee, it's nice to see you, and all the rest of that. But if you think about what another Anglican priest said in a service that I attended for a friend who had passed into spirit, he said, just consider he is in the other room. He's just gone into another room. And so if my friend or my loved one had just moved into another room, then I can still communicate. I can still be with that person. But what's my obligation in my room, in the room in the performance that I'm doing here? Is it to cry and to remember the few hours of his death or her death? Or is it more important that I remember what did that friend do in the dash? How did that friend affect me? How did I affect that friend? Did I say everything that I needed to say to that friend? And if I didn't, should that not be a lesson to me right here and now? To make sure that I don't procrastinate tomorrow about telling Gloria and telling Martin what great friends that they have been to me over all these years, that 30 plus years that we have had a friendship. And should I not tell them this? Should I be afraid that if I tell them this, they're going to say, oh, she's a bit corny or hokey or whatever? You know, I really shouldn't be concerned about saying this to my dearest friend. Now, we had an experience of late where I had discovered, finally, after 38 years, the address and phone number of a friend that we had separated from many years ago and had been a good friend for 8 years. And we didn't know if he was alive or passed into spirit by this time because, you know, we're all getting up in years now. But we did find that he was still alive. And I felt it was important to me to send him a copy of the dash and also write him a story of what happened before he came into our life in 1957. So by that time, looking at my age, you know, I was born before 1957, right? So we had had a few years of experience, and I said, before you came into our dash, we had two children, been married and had two children, but you came into our dash, and I reiterated through 1957 until we left Ontario 8 years later of all the things that this gentleman had meant to us, all the things that he had brought to us, all the good times that we had had, and the tears that we had shed together. Because we did shed tears. That was part of life. He cried with us when I miscarried one of my children, and I cried with him when he phoned 2 days after his beloved little son, first baby, was born to tell me, don't finish the bassinet, Barbara, because my son died this month. And we cried together. But that's part of life. That's part of the dash. This is experience that we have to have. And it's not for me to concern myself so much about what one event in my life and go and hold on to that event and embrace that event of that person's life and say, that's a horrible thing that happened, and just hold on to that. But what about all the other wonderful things that happened? Audrey and I have just had our 49th anniversary of marriage, and we're coming up to our 50th anniversary of when we met. And would it be holding to me, God forbid, we don't know how long we do have, but should I be the one that's remaining? Am I supposed to spend all the rest of my life grieving that Ozzy has gone, or am I supposed to rejoice that he was being here for 50 years of my life spent with him? I should be rejoicing that event. Yes, there comes a time when there's going to be tears and I'm going to be upset, and I have been in my life when my dad passed, my cousin passed, different people in my life that I held dearly passed, and there were tears. But you know what? We honor these people by going forward and being all we can be while we are still here. And if we think of it in one sense, we came from spirit. So when I left spirit, you know, never mind what's in my dad's down here, right? What was I doing up there? I have no idea, because they kind of veil that from you. But I do know that I chose to come here and have the people come into my dash that did come into my dash, because they all were going to be part and parcel of putting my little jigsaw puzzle together so I could be all that I could be. So that when I go back to spirit, that my dimension that I am activating here can take all of that information back to my whole soul, and it can interlock with all the other experiences, and it can be something wonderful. But what about when I left there? Were there people, spirits there, personalities there that were saying, oh, we wish Barbara didn't have to go and live on the earth plane. I wish she could still play around in the heavens with us. And when the time comes for me to return there, will there be a great rejoicing? And they'll say, Barbara's coming home. She's coming home to be with us again. She's been on this trip. And we've missed her, but we have been able to know she's just been in another room, one of God's other rooms in his mansion. So they're going to rejoice when I get back there. So all these wonderful people there are going to rejoice. Well, a few of them here, hopefully, are going to be a little sad that I'm gone. And hopefully that's because of what I put in my dash. And knowing this and starting to really take a look at this little tiny poem that I read, it really makes me realize that it is important that I spend my dash properly. I do have such a small time on this earth plane, and I can only influence so many people. But like a stone thrown into the water, when Gloria puts the good word into the water, the ripples go outward like this, and she may give that word to one person, and that one person will take it on to 10 more, and then 10, and so on. And I don't know if any of you have seen the movie called Pay It Forward, but if you haven't seen it, do take a look at it. It is very mind-boggling of how that ripple can go out and out and out. So my job is to touch the people that I can touch. There are a few of you here that have been really close acquaintances. Some have been really close friends. But I hope that when I did touch your life, maybe it's for one time that you came for a visit and you heard me speak, and maybe I said something that you went home with and you took that to 10 other people, and those 10 people said, gee, that is quite a concept, and they took it on to 10 more. And that is how I hope I spend my dash. I spend my dash, hopefully, in the light of God, bringing God's word forward. And it doesn't have to be a God that is a thunderbolt and lollipop God on the mountaintop with a long beard. It is an energy that is within you and around you and all of you and part of you, and it's part of the whole universe. And I blow my students' minds by saying this. It is the same energy
whether you use it positively or negatively. You know, a lot of people just say to me, well, Barbara, that seems a bit strange, but it really is true. The same energy that is God, that we call God, universal mind, that universal energy can be used to construct or destroy. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it does come along and it does kind of take us right back to the residual value, and we have to rise up like the phoenix from the ground. And that's all part of death. It's all part of learning something. Sometimes we make an error of judgment and we draw on the negative side of it, and it kind of destroys whatever we're doing, and we have to kind of learn from that, pick our pieces up, and get back into the game. So the whole thing is to do with the dash is, how are you spending it? What are you doing with it? Now, one of the things I read this morning, and it was very profound, and I meant to bring the name of the gentleman that said it, but he said this, that mistake is only a mistake when it's remembered. So if you keep embracing an error of judgment that you have made, then you are constantly giving that error of judgment power. If you're constantly embracing a negative action that has been done to you by somebody else, because of their level of evolution, if you keep in your dash that hatred, that pain, that agony throughout your life, then it only continues to be effective as long as you remember it. The minute you change the context of what it means, in other words, you turn the coin over and you say, everything that's happened in my dash has made me a sum of who I am right now. And even those people who came into my life that carried not such a nice spirit in my thinking, maybe did it with the best that they knew at the moment that they did it. And then, even going deeper than that, think to yourself, maybe this is God's garden, and they were the corn stalks that brought me the corn I needed to eat. So if I'm a farmer, am I going to go back to the corn stalk at the end of the season after the corn's been picked and holler down the hollow corn stalk, what are you doing? Give me some more corn. Or say, why weren't you broccoli? I didn't like corn. Is it going to serve any purpose to go back and look at an empty stalk or an empty vessel by which something is learned and ask it to be something other than it is, or to bring you some other learning than it did? The only thing that you have control on when things are past in your life, when you've gone that far into the dash that you're past that, the only control you have is your attitude to how do you receive what happened there. Do you receive the fact that you walked to school with no soles on your shoe, putting cardboard in to get to school and free paper in to get home? As poor me, I didn't have decent shoes. And poor me, I have been taken from one place to another and bumped from pillar to post. And no love coming from that garden at all. And am I going to stand and curse that garden, or am I going to embrace that garden and say, thank you for being the vessel through which I learned a better way? I learned what you were doing didn't work. I learned it wasn't the way I wanted to be. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me that. Thank you for being all that you could be for me and for sacrificing your trip through this experience that I'm in to be who you needed to be to bring me what I needed to have in my life. And take my dash and say, thank you, God, for everybody that has been into it up to this point. Because I do like myself. I like who I am. I am not a perfect being. I'm a work in progress still. Even my really good friends will tell you that. She has her faults, you know. Not too many, but she has. I'm a work in progress, and I'm going to make errors of judgment again, I'm sure. Because I will make them based on what I know at the moment that I know it. The most important thing is that I honor myself, my God, and those people who have come into my life that are still here, and those who have gone before me into the spirit world and are waiting for my return. And I need to honor those people and say to them, thank you for being in my dash. And thank you for being my dash. Thank you. God bless.
So, now we just heard that was about 4 years ago, obviously, that I did that talk at one of the churches. And Helen, you've heard me talk on that particular topic before. It was a little different one when you heard it.
Yeah.
But how do you feel with what went on there?
It makes you think what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
Who is God? What is it all about? And feeling good, doing good, and trying to be the best you can be.
Yeah, and I think that's the real key there, is being the best that we can be. Right now, I've had a very joyous day. I think I shared with you before we came on the air that I had my third great-grandchild born today. And I kind of like to welcome this little sweet darling into the world. It's Tyler Alexander, and he was born at 1:40 this morning. And he gave his mom a little bit of scare and trouble and stuff getting here. He kept her in for 22 hours of labor, so she knows what she's in for with Tyler. Sounds like he was coming into the world the harder way. But anyway, they did have a healthy birth, and so we welcome them into the world. And I have two other great-grandchildren. And, of course, we are coming up to our 54th year of marriage now. So there's been a little time since we had that little talk there. So this is really quite interesting when we think back that it hasn't changed any in 4 years. I still teach the same thing, is that we basically, to be healed and be healthy, we have to first of all realize that everything that's happened to us might have a purpose to it. And although we may not have had the greatest, looking back on it, we could say maybe not the greatest thing, if we stand and suck our thumb, like my book says, if we stand sucking our thumb about poor me and how hard done by I was and all the rest of it, then obviously we're going to have a very sad life. But if we turn around and say, okay, what benefit did I get from that situation?
What have I learned?
What have I learned? And what can I do with that as a tool to make things better? Because obviously the things that have happened in my life have brought me to where I am right now. I'm who I am because of everything that's happened, as you are.
Yeah.
And you're able today to be the kind of person and to help to other people because of what's happened to you, not in spite of it, and not wanting to go back and say, I'd like to change any of that, because if I did, I'd change who I am. So I think the big thing is to live in the moment and say, okay, those things did happen. And forgiving and condoning are two different things. You can forgive things that have been done to you, or you can even forgive yourself for things that you did because you didn't know any better, but we don't have to condone it. We don't have to continue it or continue to allow it, which is great. There were a couple ladies that phoned in a little earlier, and if they'd like to phone in now, I'm going to give the numbers out for the United States first. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-810-8322. The international line is 530-876-3222. And these are toll-free lines that are supplied by BBS Radio, which is giving us the airtime to bring this program there. And hopefully our chapel isn't just, you know, get in the morning and come in and do a spiritual thing and go the rest of the week. And you know, good old days when they used to go to confession on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning, and I'm pure now, but goodness, if I hope I don't die before I get back to confession next week. It doesn't really work that way. You have to kind of live in your dash, the belief system that you have, and kind of go out with that joy in your heart. And it's not banging the tambourine, trying to grab people in and saying, oh, you got to come to God. It's getting them to understand inside their heart, and that the things are going to be better for them. Each experience that happens, even if it's a negative experience, gives a chance to make a life better and get things better there. So if anybody does call in, we'll chat to them, and if not, we'll chat a little bit more about your work. And now talk about the healing. Tell me a little bit about the gentleman you were talking about that had been diagnosed with throat cancer and had had heavy-duty chemo.
It is a friend of mine. I knew him for 47 years, and last year, him and his wife returned, actually in Germany. He knew something was wrong. They thought he had a cold. They came back in October, and in November, he had an appointment with a specialist, and he had a 30-70 chance.
And that means that he had 30% that he would survive.
He would survive.
And he embraced the 30,
not the 70. He said, I'm not going to give up.
Good for him.
So he was in Vancouver at the hospital from January until May with chemo, 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, and then 2 weeks, and then a week off, and then plus radiation every single day. He was not even sick with the chemo, and I went and gave him healing every single day, plus a lot of people from church sent him distant healing. Mm-hmm. And in May, they told him they think everything was gone. In July, he went back and they confirmed it. They even told him his lungs were affected already and other parts of his body. And everything was clear.
And it's not there now.
It's
there's
not
no
there.
No cancer there.
No signs.
And here's a good point, I think. The hands-on healing is wonderful. I think being able to, first of all, just be with the person and they know somebody else is centering energy for them, and there's a prayer chain going out. And I think that's wonderful. But we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have to look at using everything that God's given man a possibility, and to use your good judgment with your doctors and things of that nature. And he used everything there was.
Oh, yes.
The most important thing that he used, though, was that positive energy that he could bring through himself, because a person will die from a hangnail if they convince themselves that they've got, you know, septic poisoning and it's going through their system, and they just give up. And they basically can die from what would be normally considered something quite curable. And yet, in his case, this was a cancer that they didn't give him much hope of even coming through, even with all the medical people working with him. And yet, here he is, healthy, and he's back. Obviously not a kid. We've known him for 47 years. You know, he's not a child.
70. He just turned 70.
Yeah.
The day they told him that his cancer is completely gone.
Oh, what a wonderful birthday present for me.
Yeah,
so now he's got some good years ahead of him that he can say thank you, God, and then go out there and be a good witness. Now, here's where we're talking about witnessing. He's a good witness for somebody else who has cancer. When he says, this is what happened to me, if he goes, takes that energy and goes in, say, the cancer centers where people are, all they're seeing is the next stage down the line. And so their image of where they're going to be is not a good one. But yet if he goes in there and talks to them and says, look, I was here. I was in the bed that you're in. I had this experience. And by embracing the positive energies. And nobody can say why it works for some people and not for others. But we know that a lot of times the person who's encouraging them, the hands-on healer, whether it's a smile, whether it's a bouquet of flowers, or whether they come in and they bring, you know, food in on when the person's in bed, nice chicken soup with the old remedy for making people cured of a cold or flu, well, grandma's chicken soup or mom's chicken soup. It's more the love that goes into the chicken soup and the attention, I think, than the chicken soup, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really nice that we're able to be able to do that and be able to be part of taking that joyful energy out there. Now, anybody that wants a complimentary reading, if they just phone in, we will do that. Or if you would like to ask Helen a little bit more about how you can help with your own healing if you have a challenge at the moment. And if you have a challenge at the moment, what do you do yourself, for yourself?
You can give yourself healing.
Yeah.
Which does work.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And just ask. I still call him God.
Yeah. Well, I still say God because, it, you know, this is another thing that we say. It doesn't matter name.
Doesn't really matter.
Rose by any name, still Rose. And because there has to be a title or a word that expresses for us, we don't do everything by telepathy. God is the word I use, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people use another name. Might call it the great creator. They may call the X power of science, unknown commodity of science, you know. Everybody has an answer for what this energy is, this ability to bring that energy through yourself.
And your thought and love goes where it's supposed to go.
It does.
It doesn't, the name does not matter.
No, it doesn't. The interesting thing is Wayne Dyer has a book out, and he has also programs that you see from time to time on the television program. And one of them is the power of intention. And this is something that I've taught for a number of years, too, that what you intend, where you send your energy, the thought that you put out there, where you're sending that thought, is where the energy will follow it. So we have to really be careful what our intention is. Is our intention to be ill? If our intention is to stay ill, then we'll embrace that illness and say, oh, you know, I've got this pain that won't go away. Well, it doesn't matter. Don't give me any healing, Helen, because it's not going to happen. I'm going to have this pain. It's my pain. Leave me alone with my pain. You know, and it we're joking in a way here. But, you know, that's kind of subconsciously what goes on. I mean, I have this cancer or I have this. Nothing's ever going to help it. So nothing's going to harm it by getting yourself in a good frame of mind, that's for sure. It's not going to hurt it to get happy. It's not going to hurt it to turn on some nice music and get up and move your body. And if you're in a wheelchair, to just, you know, just mentally move your mind around, like see yourself dancing or whatever. It's not going to hurt anything, so why not try it? It's like a lot of people say, well, I'm not even sure there's a God. Well, you know, when you get there, wouldn't it be better to believe in him than get there and find there was? I hope there was, you know. So we kind of look at that direction, too. But a lot of times the readers, a person who comes to me for a counseling session, sits across the table from me, they're going through a really tough situation. It's not up to me to say, well, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. My job is to kind of guide them and see what it is that's going on and then kind of look at some options that may be there for them and then let them decide where they want to put their intention. And that is, I think, the most important thing that we have to do with the work that we're doing, whether you're mediumship, because a lot of people don't think healers are mediums. Healers are mediums. They're a go-between the energy from God comes through your body and helps the person activate the healing for themselves. Because the same thing with hypnosis, a hypnotherapist doesn't hypnotize you. You hypnotize yourself. The hypnotherapist just suggests things to you that will trigger your own mind. And so the healer brings energy through so that you heal your own body. And it's really important to stay very, very positive because attitude influences everything, right?
Yes. And with healing, it does not matter what name you put to it,
no.
Like Reiki and therapeutic touch. I know a lot of them that took courses doing this, and they all say a prayer before they start.
Exactly.
Try to tune into whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Whatever the name they put on that, and they go up the same direction, all reach to the same spot.
We all go.
Yeah. And the same thing happens, I think, even with some doctors and nurses. When they, before they are doing treatment with a patient, or I was talking a few weeks ago about the roadside hands-on situation that happened with me many years ago before I ever knew what hands-on healing was. And when I asked the minister of our church, the Anglican priest of our church, what was this success, this energy that came through my body that made me feel so accelerated? This is before I got so involved as I am. And he said, well, you were praying. And I thought to myself, yes, I was praying. I was praying. Of course I was praying. I was praying this man's going to be okay. Wasn't necessarily saying it out loud, but you know, you are saying that in your body. But there was something more going on there, this energy that was coming in there, that link that I was getting with God. And I think, regardless, if you had a child that's ill, whether you believe in a God or a God with a name or whether you believe in anything, you're going to be saying something, you know, having some faith that some kind of energy is going to help there to make that child better. Or, you know, if you have an ill parent or whatever. So I think everybody believes in some way. I think there's very few people that don't believe in something. They may not call it by the same name as we do, but certainly it is joyful. I think the thing is that if you yourself, if you're going out, you have to kind of live and walk your talk, don't you feel? Because if you and I talk that to somebody and we preach that on Sunday morning, and then we go out and we're old grumpy bear the rest of the week, that's not going to
do it.
You know? So
positive thinking.
It is. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, positive thinking doesn't work. I kind of laugh. I tell a story about a student in a class one time, and she comes up after that we've done a whole six-week class. And she says to me, you know, I've really learned a lot in this class, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And she said, and the talks that you do, they're so positive and everything. And I really think it works for you, Barbara. But she said, positive thinking never works for me. And so I stopped for a moment. And she said, I'm really positive, and it never works. And I said, well, you're perfectly right. And she wanted me to argue with her, I guess, to try to give her confidence that it will work for her sometime. I said, you're so positive that it isn't going to work, that it really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really manifest in your mind that healing isn't going to happen, or my life isn't going to get better, or that special person isn't going to be brought into my life, that God really doesn't have a dream for me, I'm just sitting here sucking my thumb, my life is just a pit, you're never going to get the cherries. You know, you're never going to get the good things. And so that's what's really so important with it. Yeah. So,
You're believing.
Yeah. So it looks like the ladies aren't calling back in. Maybe they were looking for the fellow ahead of us. They were trying. That used to happen when I was on Tomorrow's Fortune sometimes. We'd give clairvoyant messages for about an hour and a half between three of us. There'd be two people on, and then one would come off, and the other one would go on with the host. And people would phone in for a complimentary message. And then we would tell at the end of the program, well, you know, here's where you can phone, and here's where you can get a hold of us afterwards. Before we would get home, our lines were just absolutely jam-packed for people that wanting a message. But the phones would just keep ringing and ringing and ringing afterwards, because a lot of people do really like to have a complimentary reading and or ask somebody about how to help them through something that they're going through at the moment. Now, it was really enjoyable having you here, Helen. I really did enjoy that.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we have. We have a website, which is www.innergarden.com. And you can go there. It has a lot of information about different things that we have on. They can reach us if they want prayer for healing. Just reach us at chapel@innergarden.com and just in the subject put prayer and just put the person's first name, because from the Privacy Act we don't really need to know their last name. God knows who it is. The minute you send the letter, the prayers are already starting to go up from you, and then we just join that energy into that. So that's the other thing they can do. The other thing is that send us an email at the chapel making comments on the church, or to BBS Radio. It would be dawn@bbsradio.com, and maybe give a compliment or so, or maybe even a complaint if you don't like our program. And I can't see that anybody would have any problem with that, because we're so positive here. We just make everybody feel really good. And if you would like to know any questions, just let us know and we'll try to answer them for you. We have two books that are online that you can pick up. Don't stand there sucking your thumb. If you turn it over in the back, says because you got golden plums at your fingertips. And it's kind of a health book, helping book to help you kind of learn how to solve your own problems. And then we have The Power of Curious Mind. So you can go on to that, and you'll get a lot of the phenomena that has gone on. So you can write us in. And there's a lot of other things that are going on from time to time, and you can find out if you're in our area where I'm teaching and what's going on there at www.innergarden.com. And Helen, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to talk to Helen the next time. Thank you, Helen, and we'll say a prayer and thank you, God, for allowing us to be here today, and go ahead forward and see you next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise.